But always on a Tuesday, round about this time, we cross to our nation's capital, Pretoria in Tswane. Jean-Jacques Cornish, Eyewitness News Africa correspondent. Jean-Jacques, how are you doing today? How is our nation's capital?
Bonjour. Well, I thank goodness I was born with webbed feet, because we've had nothing but rain, eh?
There was a story right now in Eyewitness News about predictions of the La Nina phenomena in South Africa, this part of the subcontinent, and we're looking to have particularly more wet weather. The Western Cape is largely excluded from that. We, you know, we're our own almost, I don't want to say country, it gives people ideas, but upper northern parts, Northern Cape, eastern parts of the country, expecting more rain. But
all the way to Christmas, I'm going to say, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Look, we need it.
Desperately.
But obviously, there is obviously the disaster management concerns. But we're going to be starting in the Gambia. Adama Barrow, who promised to be more than a caretaker leader for the Gambia, now being elected president.
He fought off six candidates for this fight, and then it was the first time since the fall of Yahya Jammeh in 2016. Now Adama Barrow said he actually beat him in the election, and then Yahya Jammeh was eventually forced out of the country, went off into exile in Equatorial Guinea, and he's played a prominent role in politics there ever since. But Barrow, who was just going to stand in and promised not to stand in for too long, he hung around and then now has fought it and won it. He's described this as a victory for democracy. That country, which has 2.5 million people, the smallest African country, living on tourism, peanuts, fish, is battled with the corona pandemic, but it's doing not too badly, you know, by comparatively with African standards. And one hopes now that Adama Barrow can bring in some stability, because that's what they badly need. And let's hope that Yahya Jammeh, whose 22-year rule was a rather wicked one, I hope that his influence over politics starts to decline, rather, if provided Adama Barrow can do his job properly. Mm.
Speaking about the COVID-19 pandemic, Nigeria is now pondering whether to make vaccinations mandatory. This is as Britain slaps more travel restrictions on that West African giant. It would be the second country, I hear. Kenya also last week or at the weekend announcing it was implementing public vaccination mandates.
Well, from December 1, Nigerian civil servants have to be vaccinated to get in. Some of them are saying, okay, fine, we're not going to vaccinate. It means we're not going to go to work. As long as we kept getting paid, we'll be fine. But interesting, Nigeria is just as angry as South Africa is about being called, having this block by Britain and other countries. Of course, the SADC countries already all blocked by Britain. And they're calling this tourism apartheid. But, you know, in every case, I mean, their vaccination levels are not high enough. And the South African, the civil servants are having to play ball, as it were. So the vaccination rate among the civil servants is going up. But let's just see what happens. It's very interesting that the two economic giants on the continent are both facing this. So the idea in South Africa is that a mandatory vaccination, if indeed it happens, would be from January. And we wait to see on that one. You can bet there's going to be a lot of legal challenges, just as I'm sure there will be in Nigeria.
And just finally, and very shortly, Jean-Jacques, the Ugandan troops are back in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but this time it is with the approval of the Congolese government.
Indeed. Now, we have this Islamist militant group called the Allied Democratic Force, and that was responsible, say, the Ugandans, for triple suicide bombings last month, in which something like 20 people died. Now, Ugandan troops have been there in the first Congolese War, 1996 to 1997, and then the second one, which was called Africa's World War, you know, from 1998 to 2003, in which 5.8 million people died, most costly war since the Second World War. And so one would have thought there'd be some hesitancy about letting Ugandan troops back in there. But this time the government says they can stay there as long as they fight the ADF. The ADF set up some time back, but then spent most of its time involved in or hid out in the Congo. So that now that it's 1,700 Ugandans, we understand, they're not giving numbers officially, or in there fighting this ADF group. And until they can do that, the Congolese are happy to have them there.
Jean-Jacques Cornish, Eyewitness News Africa correspondent, he'll be back.